Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1988 General Convention held at Chattanooga, Tennessee. The speaker for this discourse is Brother Steve Roskowitz, whose subject is, I Will Give Thee for a Covenant.
But what this prophecy in Isaiah is telling us is that points out the relationship we have as the new creatures, as the body of Christ, with the new covenant. And I'd like to read those scriptures to you. Isaiah 49, 7 to 9. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and rise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Verse 9, 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. Verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. That's the end of the quotation from the scriptures that we mentioned. How often have we made application of these scriptures to our Lord, the head, and the church, his body? Now let us notice, particularly the part which says, I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant unto the people to establish the earth and so forth. Notice the fact that the people and their earthly inheritance are here differentiated from the great mediator of the covenant through whom the people are to be blessed. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, we read this, and this is from our Fenton translation, and has subjected everything under his feet. Psalms 8, 6, and has given him to be head over all the church, which is his body, the accomplishment of the whole in absolute perfection. Our Lord has not yet received the heathen for an inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for a possession, Psalms 2, 8. He has not yet blessed natural Israel by removing their blindness. Because the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 11, 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye would be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Also, the ancient worthies are not yet resurrected to be special channels of the blessings to Israel and to all mankind. For more than 19 centuries, he has been waiting at the right hand of His Majesty for his foe to be turned over to him, and for the fullness of the Gentiles to come in, which is, we believe, the church, his body. Then at that time, he shall take to himself his great power and reign. The beginning of that reign, we believe, might be the binding of Satan. Matthew 1:12-29. Then the blessings and uplifting of the groaning creation will follow. Gradually the world will be prepared to resume covenant relations with God. When? During the millennium? They will through the mediator, but at the close of the millennial age, when our Lord will turn over the kingdom to the Father, will they be directly in relationship individually with their Creator? Some might ask, why the delay? Let us get this point clearly in our minds. And I'm sure many of you have. The scriptural answer is that in harmony with the divine plan, he has been waiting for the members of his body to join him in sacrifice, in suffering of this present gospel age. What? That they may share with him as his members in the glorious work to which he has been appointed as the spiritual seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:29. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. From this standpoint, all the work of God's people during this gospel age is so much of the ministry of the world's new covenant. The ministry of the Lord's new covenant at this time. And by serving in this ministry, that future new covenant, by getting themselves and each other ready for the future work of glory at the expense of self-denials as respects earthly things and the present life. We are related to the Sarah part of the Abrahamic covenant. Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. Verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Let us now turn to the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. He applies these words to the body of Christ, saying, we then, workers together, beseech also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, the antitypical atonement day, which is now the gospel age we believe, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time when we, like our Lord, may sacrifice rites and restitution privileges and thereby attain to the spiritual blessings of our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Behold, now is the day of salvation, the great salvation to the divine plane of life with our Lord. We see then, by reading the prophecy of Isaiah 49:7-9, from which the Apostle Paul quotes the words in 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, we can understand that and have no room for question that the entire church, head and body, was given for a covenant for the people, the world, to institute general times of restitution for all things which God has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3:19 to 23 and Deuteronomy 18:15. Now, I would like to take a moment here to quote you some words from the pen of Brother Russell to a question of Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Should we understand this to mean that the glorified church will be the new covenant? We may get that idea, but it's not so. Answer. The scriptures evidently refer to Christ Jesus, the head, and the church's body. I have given thee for a covenant of the people does not mean that Jesus or the church become the new covenant, but that God gives Christ and the church in connection with the making of this covenant. There could be no covenant without Christ and the church, because it is the blood of Christ that constitutes the sealing value of the new covenant. That new covenant must be sealed, and it is to be sealed by the blood of Christ. While the ransom feature is all in the Lord Jesus and his death, yet the church is counted in as his body, and the blood of the whole church is counted in as part of that blood that will seal the new covenant or make it operative. And that hasn't happened yet. Now, when we understand that the entire church, head and body, are given for a covenant of the people, for the people, the world, how appropriate it is when our Lord took his cup of suffering and death and invited his faithful followers to share with him, that this blood was not only shed for us, but that it was also the blood of the new covenant shed for many. I think if we remember that point, it's very important. Matthew 26:27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Verse 28, for this is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, in which we are privileged to participate. Those who see and appreciate this privilege rejoice to be accounted worthy to have fellowship or participation with Christ in his sufferings and sacrifice, that they may share with him also in the glories and work. The blood of the new covenant signifies the better sacrifices, plural, by which God has been pleased to arrange to bring the whole world into covenant relationship with himself. Now we come to a very important part of our subject, which is the ministry of reconciliation. As the Apostle Paul so clearly explains it for us in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, let us read his words. In the 17th verse, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Such are already back into harmony or covenant relationships with God. Psalm 25:14 and Galatians 3:29. In the 16th verse, we read these words, "And all these things are of God, who hath reconciled us by himself, to himself, by Jesus Christ, brought us back to covenant relationship, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." What is this ministry of reconciliation that we have? What brings us, draws us to God, and that he may impart his Holy Spirit upon us? It is the glad tidings of great joy. We see that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans, I believe, 1:16. And so this is the point that we have, the ministry of reconciliation that we have to offer to the world. It's a glad message. Not many accept it, but nevertheless, those who do may be reconciled to God as we were. And that's through the preaching of the gospel. You know, the gospel is really the glad tidings of great joy. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Romans 1:16. The gospel, the power of God, the glad tidings which brings this great salvation. This is the ministry that we have. And this is why we rejoice, brethren, to have this part in preaching the gospel, preaching this glad tidings to the world. And we rejoice at the privilege that we have to do it. Now, not many accept, but nevertheless, that is our duty. By this, we exercise the privileges that have been given to us. And so, what does the Apostle Paul and I say further? And this I appreciate. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech men by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is the work that we have, being ambassadors for this cause. What is the work of the ambassador? To establish good relations and to make peace with people through that wonderful message that we have. So being ambassadors, representatives of the higher government that we hope to have and share in due time. And verse 21, for he, who, God, hath made him, who, Jesus, to be sin, a sin offering for us, him who knew no sin, that we might become God's righteousness in him. This is the privilege that we've had, that he has provided this reconciliation through Christ, and we believe it's justification, the robe of righteousness which covers our blemishes, and we have access to God. And Paul certainly quotes this, as was already quoted from this platform, that Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that should be either our direction and our condition at this time. After Jesus finished his ransom sacrifice, he ascended on high and applied it not for the world, but for those who should believe in him and become his followers by consecration. Let's turn to Daniel's words in chapter 9, verse 24. This is something that is related to this part that we have. And we're glad we can make the connection between the old prophecies of the Old Testament and the new. And this is what this verse 24 of chapter 9 says. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. The point we're trying to bring out, dear brethren, is that before the symbolical 70 weeks or 490 years, we believe, would end, long looked for important events would begin to have their fulfillment. Not to the world or nominal Christians, Israel, but to thy people, Israelites indeed. It was to these that the blessings were to be were provided and foretold. Others would be blessed in due time, not now. Those loyal to the Lord were especially the thy people, the most holy. We're not talking the most holy in the tabernacle. We're talking about the most holy that would respond to God's commandments and live a life that is marked out for them. The most holy of verse 24. And since Pentecost, those who accepted God's mercy were the most holy, or Israelites indeed, and were anointed by the Holy Spirit at that time. To them and all their class since, the incidents of that time sealed or made positive the prophetic utterances of the past, the fulfillment of it, and confirmed the vision of the coming glory declared by the prophets. In Christ and his redemptive work, believers realize the beginning of God's preparation for the blessing of humanity. It is to this class that the reconciliation for iniquity is applied, which our Lord Jesus made at the heavenly mercy seat when he ascended up on high, there to appear in the presence of God for us. Who is the us? The church, that selected body. Hebrews 9:24. The iniquities of the church were thus canceled, and the reconciliation of believers was thus effected. Again, as I mentioned, Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so we see here the effect of that was felt then. But the reconciliation went no further than the believers. Unbelievers are still unreconciled. The great Redeemer did not appear as their advocate or make reconciliation for their iniquities. That work comes in the next age after the church is complete. After all those who were to be reconciled to Christ and become this promised seed of Abraham, I trust we can say assuredly that Daniel's prophetic words to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity were fulfilled when Jesus ascended upon high for us as a sin offering. And that's a beautiful picture there. Therefore, the Apostle Paul could make the positive statements in Romans 8:1, as we quoted several times. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Apostle Paul was one of these, as he explained to others, and incidentally to us, of the same class today. The results of our Lord's application of his merit in our behalf was our consequent harmony with God, to share in the reconciliation work as was quoted. And in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 18th verse, God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and hath given to us the ministry or service of reconciliation. This is not the service of our reconciliation, which is already past, but the service of making known to the world the great fact that through the merit of Christ's death, whosoever wills may return to harmony with God and be reconciled to him. The church's message is that his reconciliation is eventually to reach the whole world, and that at the present time, it is intended only for him that hath an ear to hear. How we yearn sometimes that we could open the deaf ears, the stopped ears, and open their blind eyes to these wonderful promises of God. But we see of no avail. I just might mention, here we tried to share some of these glad tidings to the world. How many responded? 3. But that time isn't here yet. The work of reconciliation is to the church. It hasn't taken place for the world yet, but in due time. The work of reconciliation is divided into two parts. First, for the church. Second, for the world. Thus, the church, in delivering the message of reconciliation, are what the Apostle Paul refers in 2 Corinthians 5:20 as ambassadors for Christ and God. This is our work, to represent that wonderful message of life the world of mankind. Thus, the church, in delivering the message of reconciliation, are what the Apostle Paul refers to as ambassadors for Christ and God. This ministry or service in the present time affects only the gathering of the household of faith, including the elect. But this is not the end of the service. This is only part of the service of this reconciliation that we are to do. Those faithful in this present work of the ministry of reconciliation will be counted worthy by our Lord of a share in the glorious work of the future. The reconciliation of that future time will differ from the message of the present time. Now, what do we do? We persuade, we urge, we entreat, we lay down our lives for the brethren. We seek by the word and example, by word and example, to encourage, to entice them to the Lord, to have fellowship in his sufferings and in his ministry. Paul's letter to Philemon about Onesimus, verse 13 to 21. It's building the bridge instead of driving the wedge. It's a very good picture. But the ministry of reconciliation in the future will be entirely different. Are we going to have to entice and plead in the world? No. It will be a glorious work because it will be accomplished on the plane of glory. When we shall be changed by the power of the first resurrection and as members of the glorious of his glorious body will sit upon his throne, we will exercise under him the office of prophet, priest, and king, mediator between God and mankind. No longer will men be entreated. On the contrary, the law shall go forth from Mount Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:3. The soul that will not obey that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people after a full and fair warning and helpful advice, Acts 3:23. The ministry of reconciliation committed to the church now in the gospel age and in the next age, the millennium, is sometimes referred to as the ministry of the new covenant, the service of bringing Israel into covenant relationship with God anew. These royal priests serve the new covenant in the present time by way of making ready, under the guidance of our head and sacrificing of the restitution rites as under priests. The duties and privileges of the royal priesthood are now a sacrificing service. Afterward, at that time, a reigning, restoring, and teaching service. As he, Jesus, was, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. And verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5 tells us how the Lord Jesus became the sin offering for us, the household of faith. Brethren have a difficulty in saying that the whole world is purchased under the ransom. But it's the application of that ransom that differs. The church, the ransom is applied for the church through this sin offering. There will be a second sprinkling, as there was back there in the type that Aaron took away the blood of the bullock. And who was it for, brethren? Very clearly it states that it was for Aaron, his house, was it not? It wasn't for the camp of Israel. And so as Jesus went and ascended into heaven, Hebrews 9:24, he appeared there before God for us, the church. And therefore, this wonderful relationship that we have with God takes place now. We are as new creatures in Christ Jesus. So the time comes when the church finishes the sacrificing, And evidently, that sacrificing isn't finished yet. Because Paul brings us out his wonderful statement. We'll read this. Because the sin offering for us, the household of faith, and that this is so, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, that we, his members, may be the channels through whom his merit would be applied for the world's sins. Under the terms of the New Testament or bequest or new covenant in his blood. This is in harmony with the apostle's statement that God's mercy through Christ will be extended to Israel and then the world through the church, as it is written, Romans 11:31. They shall obtain mercy through your mercy. Isn't that a wonderful thought? But first, the sacrificing work has to be done. It is God's mercy through Christ that will pass through the church to natural Israel and to whomsoever wills of all the families of the earth. We rejoice for that time when it comes. And so, we see that Paul stated also in the 11th chapter of Romans that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, until the full number of the church have gone beyond. And then the great work of the kingdom will begin. Yes, then will our Lord take his great power and reign here upon the earth with the 144,000 who will be associated with him. Thank God for the privilege of this ministry of reconciliation committed unto us, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Genesis 22:18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obeying God's voice, responding, even those who symbolize their consecration, they've responded to God's mercy. And may God help them and bless them to finish that work that was begun, that they might be able to become this body of reconciliation that shall be effected for the world of mankind. This blood that was poured upon in the most holy, the blood of the Lord's goat, represented all the church, the 144,000. And it will not take effect until all the members have passed their test and will be rewarded with that glorious life upon the divine plane. Being connected with Christ, Christ the head and the church his body. For what work? For the work of blessing all the families of the earth. May God help us to attain that time and that point, dear brethren. Let us pray for that kingdom to come, where then we shall exercise the wonderful powers that are promised to us through his word and by his Holy Spirit. Amen.
May the Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face to shine upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.